morning. My name is Bree, and I will be your conference operator. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to Elementia's first quarter 2019 earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. There will be a question and answer session after the speaker's opening remarks, and instructions will be given at that time. I will now turn the call over to Alfredo Recchi, Elementia's Investor Relations Officer. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Bree, and good day, everyone. Welcome to Elementia's first quarter 2019 earnings conference call. Joining us today is Chief Executive Officer Fernando Ruiz Jacques and Chief Financial Officer Juan Francisco Sanchez Kramer. Please be advised that this call is for investors and analysts only. During this call, they will be discussing Elementia's performance as per the earnings release issued yesterday. If you did not receive the report, it is available on the company's website in the Investor Relations section. All figures discussed today are in Mexican pesos, unless otherwise stated, and all growth comparisons relate to their corresponding period of last year. Let me remind you that the forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call. These are based on the information that is currently available and are subject to change due to a variety of factors. For more detail and a complete disclaimer, please refer to the earnings release. And with that, I'll turn the call to Fernando.
Thank you. Thank you, Alfredo, and good morning, everyone. We start the new year by adapting to the constant changes brought on by the global economy, anticipating and proactively addressing the challenges to recapture profitable growth. Our results in the cement and building systems divisions, which are two of our most important units, showed a great progress versus last year, despite the economic contraction seen in many of the regions in which they operate in. Nevertheless, this combined upbeat performance was not able to offset the impacts from copper and exchange rate volatility in metal products. As such, consolidated revenues for the quarter improved by 11.9%, yet our EBITDA was down 7.3%. So going further into details per business unit, let's start with Cement Mexico. So Cement Mexico was in line with the market's current trend, posting a 7.5% decrease in EBITDA, mainly driven by a contracted market environment and higher energy prices. Please bear in mind that energy costs in the first quarter last year were the lowest in several years. Likewise, as we mentioned in the fourth quarter report, a regular electoral year would have shown higher consumption in the first half and weaker in the second. And also, per statistics, in a post-electoral year, the first half should be weaker and the second stronger. 2019 has not been the exception, but it is showing a slower startup than expected, mainly because of weaker market conditions and lower public and private expenditure. Regarding our grinding project in Yucatan, we have already begun preparing the Yucatan market, to ensure a successful ramp-up for this new capacity. I am confident we will succeed in this strategy, just like we did when we expanded Tula. We estimate the project will begin commercial operations by year-end. So let me turn now to Cement USA, and here it pleases me to say that we surpassed our biggest recovery yet, which was reported in fourth quarter 2018. Revenues and EBITDA jumped double digits. Although absolute numbers remain on the negative side, our progress is undeniable. Our commitment to bring back this business unit to the growth path is on track. The improvement is mainly thanks to the stabilization of operations, the implementations of the strategy to recover our customer base, our redundancy plan through imports, the fact that markets are growing, and to more favorable weather conditions versus last year. The second quarter already shows signs of continued volume trends. However, it is worth noting that costs will be slightly directly impacted from minor incidents occurred at the main facility during the planned annual maintenance program. Volumes won't be affected as inventory was built according to schedule. Last but not least, on the cement division, we have Cement Costa Rica, whose ramp-up is on track and the new business model is proving successful. This unit contributed nearly 28.6 million in EBITDA and posted an EBITDA margin of 26.8%. This brings to an increase in consolidated EBITDA for the cement division of 5%. Moving to building systems, consolidated EBITDA was up 35%, supported by positive performances in both regions. So let's start in the U.S. We have seen growth in revenues and EBITDA of 10 and 6% respectively. And we are once again mainly driven by the ramp-up of the Indiana facility, by the focus to higher value-added products, as well as higher prices and improved volumes. But I'm more excited to announce our performance in LATAM. Our strategic initiatives taken throughout 2018, such as the capacity rationalization, the right sizing, changes in technology, and most importantly, our decision to go back to basics, resulted in a high double-digit growth in EBITDA of 71%, despite having reported lower sales volume coming from back to basics program and the weaker market conditions in Mexico that also affected the cement business. Our focus to core and profitable products, as well as the improvement in our operations, enhanced margins by 6.6 basis points to 12.1%. Lastly, in our metal products business, continued to face several obstacles this year. EBITDA was down 51%, given a variety of factors. The first effect comes from tough comps. Last year, we were greatly benefited from the upward trend of copper prices and depreciation of the Mexican peso. This meant that we were buying copper at a lower level that we were selling it. However, this effect has reversed since mid last year and has affected us all the way into first quarter 2019. We believe copper prices will continue to be volatile in the short term. Another factor was our high inventory levels. Our efforts to improve our cash flows, and therefore one very important part is reducing inventories, have been nonstop. We have managed to lower them by a significant 26% in the last 3 months. This strategy is helping us clean all that inventory that perhaps does not bring the most optimum yields, given the price at which they were acquired. Likewise, the construction scene in Mexico also affected the division, bringing lower volumes, not in terms of the country, but also in terms of margins. Also, given the aggressive commercial strategies of some Chinese companies, we have lost additional volume in some LATAM countries, given their low prices. In 2019, we will be proactively addressing these challenges by implementing our strategy focused on lowering our exposure time by reducing our conversion period, inventory levels, and SKUs. We estimate to bear fruits from this initiative towards the year end. Before I conclude, I would like to give you a quick update on the proposed corporate reorganization. Yesterday, at our shareholders' meeting, we got the approval to spin off Elementia into a newly created entity comprised by all assets that, to date, belong to metal products and building systems, while Elementia will be solely comprised by those in the cement division. It is important to reiterate that this initiative will not change the strategy that has been carefully thought out for each business unit. We will remain focused on pursuing the same strategic growth paths for each one of these divisions, which are, in Cement LATAM, our eyes will be on growth and expansion through both the new business model and the traditional business model. Nevertheless, it is important to highlight that we remain committed to deleveraging the company with or without the spin-off. In Cement USA, our priority will be stabilizing our operations, recovering clients, and continue the path to recover our fair market share. In Building Systems LATAM, we will focus on increasing profitability and making the necessary changes to maximize our capacity utilization rates by reducing business complexity, continue improving the operations with a new technology and higher margin products. In Building Systems US, our efforts will go towards further ramping up the Indiana facility, implementing cost efficiencies, profitable product mix, and developing the modular repair and remodeling markets. Finally, in metal products, we will aim at higher value add products and reduce our exposure to copper and exchange rate volatility. With this, I conclude my remarks, and now I would like to turn the call over to Juan Francisco for further details on our financials. So Juan, please go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Fernando. At a consolidated level, the first quarter continued the trends in the fourth quarter 2018. Revenues decreased by close to 6% and EBITDA by roughly 7% when compared to the first quarter 2018, while EBITDA margins remain fairly stable. Let me begin with IFRS 16 effects. IFRS 16 was implemented in 2019, so on a like-for-like basis, consolidated figures will show close to 13% contraction instead of the 7% shown in our figures. Now, going into the performance of each of the business units, I will begin with cement, which improved EBITDA levels by more than 5% during the quarter, mostly driven by the recovery in the U.S. operations. In the U.S., we continue seeing the fruits from the implemented initiatives to regain lost customers. During the first quarter, revenues increased close to 25% and EBITDA close to 39%. It is important to keep in mind that seasonality effect, the first quarter is always the lowest and normally shows a negative contribution. In Mexico, we face slower market dynamics that, according to statistics, pressure volume. We also face significantly higher energy costs, as the whole industry did, mainly due to increase on electricity prices. The new energy supply contract that will help mitigate these effects is already delivering some benefits. These benefits will become relevant as of late in the third quarter of this year. Lastly, the Yucatan project continue on schedule, and we expect to begin commercial operations by year-end 2019. Finally, the grinding facility in Costa Rica continues its ramp-up, and our EBITDA margins there increased 3 percentage points quarter over quarter to 26%. Moving now to building systems, we continue to see evidence that the strategies and actions implemented during 2018 to turn around the business are paying off. This quarter is the second in a row in which we show an important recovery. We are reporting close to 35% growth in EBITDA compared to the previous year. In the U.S., we increased volume sold close to 10%, while EBITDA increased close to 3%. In the LATAM region, EBITDA grew more than 70% despite revenue decreasing close to 22%. This was achieved mainly because of the benefits from the capacity rationalization, the right sizing of the business through headcount optimization, and enhanced control of the production costs following the implementation of the technology change. Finally, let me talk about metal business. As Fernando mentioned, we face several challenges related to the fluctuation in copper prices and the appreciation of the Mexican peso against the dollar. Keep in mind that 100% of our metal revenues are U.S. dollar denominated. Consequently, despite our progress in labor force turnover, reduction, and inventory optimization, the copper price fluctuation still weighed upon the first quarter figures. Let me switch now over to discuss the cash flow. Despite a challenging quarter, cash flow from operations was $412 million. Working capital generated $171 million, mainly from inventory optimization according to plan. This, again, was achieved despite seasonality. CapEx totaled more than $310 million, mainly going to maintenance, bolt-on expansions, and the continuation of the training facility in Yucatan. During the quarter, we also used a $150 million working capital facility, which will be reduced as cash flow from operations increased. The net debt position increased $269 million on a combination of currency fluctuation, cash flow consumption, and lower EBITDA in a consolidated level because of seasonality. Net debt to EBITDA ratio reached 3.62 times for the quarter. Let me conclude my remarks by giving you a quick update on the spin-off of the project. The shareholder meeting approved to continue with the process, so we will shortly begin the formal process of discussions with our creditors and bondholders, following a standard procedure including working through a solicitation agent. We will, of course, keep you and all the market informed of any developments. At this point, I want to ask the operator to please proceed with the Q&A session. Thank you.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. You can remove yourself from the question queue by pressing the pound key. Again, that's star and one. And we will take our first question from Alejandra Obregón with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and thank you for the call. I have two very simple questions. The first one is in the cement business. I was trying to understand, or perhaps you can help us break the contribution of volume and pricing to this quarter's revenue in all of the regions. That would be very helpful. And then my second question is related to the spin-off. Now that it has been approved, what would be the next steps, and in particularly in terms of timing, when can we see the next step? Thank you.
Thank you, Alejandra, and good morning. So for your first question, as we mentioned, there is a market contraction that is affecting mainly volume. Pricing-wise, we were able to increase a little bit. Now, it is important also to mention that we are preparing the market for the Yucatan project, the grinding facility. So we are beginning to sell in that region, as we did for the startup of the Tula expansion. So in overall, volumes are not that much affected because of this, but in our core markets, they are affected. To your second question, following steps of the spin-off, the more relevant is that we will begin discussions with our creditors and bondholders. So there is a time frame that is stipulated by regulations that is roughly 50 days. So, I mean, within these 50 days, that will be the name of the game. So time-wise, probably the next the next milestone will be we will be communicating in about 40 to 50 days.
Understood. Thank you. And just perhaps a follow-up in both questions, if I may. You mentioned that the market contraction in volume and pricing, that was in Mexico, right? But how about the U.S.? And then on the spin-off question, I was trying to understand how will the giant debt will be restructured after the spin-off. If you could give us some color there, that will be very helpful.
Sure. So going to volume and pricing to the U.S., volume continue to increase. Of course, you have to plug in the seasonality effects. The first quarter is always the weaker because of the winter. But despite that, we managed to increase our volumes at a faster rate than the other players, so we believe that we are gaining market share. Now, according to the U.S. statistics, we will be able to confirm this in a couple of months that the information is released. Pricing in Central America is fairly stable, and we continue to ramp up the facility, so I mean, there is no comparison because the last year was zero, but we are very happy with the progress. To the second point, roughly, and also as we stated in the pro forma figures that we released, the idea is to spin off building systems plus metal products, business units, within the current Elementia will remain Cement. So in this company, if the spin-off really happens, will remain the international bond and another part of the debt. There is debt that is specifically within the cement business that are two ECA facilities, so they will remain there too. For the three bilateral facilities, there is still need to confirm or to find out the best scope, but we will balance the total debt. To your specific question on giant debt with Elementia, it will remain as it is. Basically, that's that.
Okay, thank you very much. This was very helpful.
Thank you, Alejandro.
Our next question will come from Celia Jimenez with Santander. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Good morning. I would like to follow up on the cement part in Mexico. If you can give us or share with us the strategy on the pricing side. I believe you before had the idea of incrementing prices in line with inflation, and I'd like to see if that's being achieved or the market is too soft to actually put prices in line with that. That's my number one question. And the second question, it's specifically regarding the U.S., if you can share with us on the volume, on the margin side, which is the contribution in volume you're seeing from higher prices or not, and which is the contribution in margins you're seeing from efficiencies being recovered since last year. Thank you.
Thank you, Cecilia. Beginning with Cement Mexico, the pricing strategy remains the same. As you know, we are the smallest player in the country, so we do not set the pricing of the market. Of course, we keep it and we keep our philosophy to be, to allocate our prices in the highest quartile of the range according to different regions, et cetera, and products, et cetera. No? We have been moving on also the mix of products. We are increasing bags instead of bulk, and that is helping us also to increase the absolute figure of revenues. No? During the quarter, there was a price increase that was done, and that is helping the full industry. Again, as I mentioned, we do not set the price.
Also, let's keep in mind that energy prices as well as fuel prices have increased, more than energy prices. So we have the incentive to try to increase prices as much as we can. No, at the end of the day, we have been able to offset those increases with some optimization in our operations. But energy prices have increased a lot. And you know better than me that energy is a big factor within our cost structure.
Going to your question on Cement US, market and price trend. So pricing has increased in all three regions that we play in, according to what we expected, that is the continuous increase in consumption. So market-wise, it is performing quite well. This year, the winter was milder than last year, so volumes are much better, and particularly in the southeast region, it is booming, and so we are growing there faster. It is important also to mention that we implemented last year several strategies to mitigate potential impacts like we have in April last year from the halt, unexpected halt of the grinding mill, finished mill. So one of that was the redundancy strategy that includes having the capabilities for imports. So we are using those capabilities because we did the yearly outage and it is working pretty good.
Okay, thanks. When, if things continue to be moving at this pace in the U.S. cement part, when do you expect to have the operations up and running as you would like them to have, you know, in a steady state mode?
That is a very good question. So this issue with the grinding, I mean, the finished mill we faced last year basically delayed our overall program close to a year because it took us close to 9 months to recover the customer base. Nevertheless, we keep on with the CapEx program. In 2 years, we have invested there close to $60 million. For this year, we are expecting some $20 million. And with that, we will conclude the CapEx plan. So what it is pending is to continue and accelerate somehow the volume recovery. And the last piece of the plan is related to pricing.
Okay. Sorry if I'm taking too long. Just a final one, if I may. Would that mean you're going to have additional $10 million next year, or should we expect something in the range of $30 million as you have had in the previous years in the U.S. cement specifically on CapEx?
Okay. No. Once that we conclude the overall program that originally we mentioned will be or would be between 80 and 90 million, the CapEx will normalize to some 10 to 15 million, depending on how extensive we do the yearly outage and maintenance, but it will normalize for around those figures.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ceci.
And as a reminder, that is star and one to ask a question. Our next question will come from Mauricio Serna with UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. First, I would like if you could first remind us on the Mexico cement division. I think I missed out on, you were talking about your performance in terms of volumes and prices, just to get a sense, how do you see yourself performing versus the market? Do you think you've continued gaining market share? And if that is the case, you know, which regions have those market share gains taken place? The other one would be regarding the cash flow. I see it was an important decline in terms of working capital gains versus last year. Just wondering if you could comment a little bit about that, what was behind that. And lastly, on the metals division, what's your expectation, you know, regarding the recovery? You know, it seems the margins in terms of EBITDA per ton have been relatively stable over the last quarters, but still declining on a year-over-year basis. So just wondering if you could provide a little bit more detail on how's the turnaround of that business coming along. Thank you.
Thank you, Mauricio. Going to your first question regarding Mexico volumes and pricing, as we mentioned, the market is contracted. We are seeing pressure, a lot of pressure in terms of volume. Nevertheless, the industry managed a price increase during the quarter. Probably our volumes are not that much affected because, as we mentioned, we are starting to prepare the market for the Yucatan project. So we have already begun selling there. This, of course, has an impact on cost, mainly logistics, because we are reaching much farther than what we used to. This will be kind of mitigated once that we start the project, and we're expecting that to happen by year-end, commercial operations. Going to cash flow, mainly working capital, we did the technology change that we have been mentioning throughout 2017 mainly, and because of that, we have higher inventories and many things related to that, inventories, receivables, et cetera, et cetera. So in the first quarter last year, we managed to reduce very strongly our inventories in the building systems, and that was the main contribution for last year. This year, even that it is much more stable, we are growing volumes in the U.S. mainly for both tenant and building systems. And because of also seasonality, we did have to increase inventories. That is one of the reasons that this year is not so much the contribution. Nevertheless, or even with these considerations, we managed to reduce our inventory levels by 180 million. Also because of seasonality and the incremental volume, we are seeing higher receivables, and that is consuming part of the working capital. On the other hand, suppliers generated roughly the same amount that receivables, and they kind of equalize in this regard, and so the benefit that we've seen is only because of inventories, or the net is mainly the inventory level.
Regarding Mauricio, your third question on the metals expectation. So as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I mean, bear in mind that the current situation of the metal division is due to the copper prices, fluctuation and depreciation of the Mexican peso, the inventory levels that we had, and basically the contraction we have seen in Mexico. So we're working very hard on a transformation plan, which we are very optimistic about. Basically, with this plan, we will reduce the complexity of the business. We will optimize the resources, human resources, in supply resources. There are many opportunities, and we are also working very hard to refresh the business. So we're working on some options which will be shared with you in the near future. So what I can tell you is that you can expect for this quarter we will not recover as much as we would wish. I mean, I think we would be slightly lower than last year, but without a doubt, I think that for the third and fourth quarter, you will see better figures, way better figures. No?
Okay, thank you. Just going back very quickly on Mexico volumes, I don't know if you did mention, like, I know you were mentioning, talking about the industry declining. You know, we have numbers for January and February, but, you know, with regarding yourself versus the industry, are you outperforming or underperforming, just to get a sense on that?
I mean, whatever we can say about that will be just guessing, so we'd rather not guess at this point. What we can tell you is that we have seen, again, market contraction. The only, I mean, the main place or the main reason that we are probably not that much affected is because we are beginning to prepare the market in the southeast of the country.
Got it. Thank you.
Our next question will come from Declan Hanlon with Santander. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for the call. I have a few questions about the pro forma structure that you're contemplating. I just want to understand a little bit in a bit more granularity about exactly what the process is with respect to the asks with creditors. The Building Systems and Metals business will remain a guarantor for the bonds. However, I imagine there's significant language amendments required in your existing covenant package, I guess, with respect to affiliate transactions or dividends or what have you. So I assume it's a consent solicitation process you're considering. Could you talk a bit more about what the high-level requirements are from your perspective at this point, with as far as getting that accomplished is concerned? That's question one.
Thank you, Anton. I'm not pretty sure that I understood quite well your question, but I will anyway try to answer. If there is something missing, please do ask again. So if I understand correctly, what and the main point is what will be kind of the general scope that follows, you know? So if that is that, we have assembled a team that includes an investment banking an information agent, a solicitation agent, and of course lawyers, et cetera, and of course the company. So the standard procedure that follows once that the shareholder meeting has approved to continue with the process is that we will begin kind of formal discussions with creditors and bondholders throughout of all these things that I have mentioned. If that was the question.
That's broadly correct. I just want to I imagine there will be a pretty significant amendments to your existing covenant package and your bonds in order to facilitate this transaction. So that's what I'm trying to get my head around specifically, what that may be.
Yes, I think I get a better picture of your question. So, yes, I mean, we are aware that we will have to do amendments, et cetera, to the agreements that we have for most of all credit facilities, including the bond. So that is considered and within the discussions that we're planning to have.
So pro forma for this structure, so the bonds stay obviously with the cement. So there's about an incremental $240 million of debt that will also stay based upon your broad 80% of total debt. That, I presume, will be there'll be a credit facility, given it's mostly bilateral loans that will be traveling with the Building Systems and Metals business? That's correct, right?
That is still pending to define how can we do it, and that will be discussed, of course, with creditors.
Okay.
In our opinion, a lot of possibilities to manage that, but as you mentioned, yes, the bond will stay with the cement business, also the two ECA facilities that I mentioned, and the three bilateral facilities are the ones that will be kind of discussed how a part of that will remain with the metal and building systems business and a part with the cement business.
We see it today. We're analyzing it, and things may change, but that's what we think it makes the most sense.
Understand.
But as Juan Francisco said, we're analyzing it, and in the 40 to 50 day time frame, we will tell you what was our findings. No?
Understand.
Today, that's what we see.
Just one follow-up on that. So the ECA is the facility that has the maintenance covenant, correct?
Yes. I mean, within each of the facilities, they all have maintenance covenants and do and not to do covenants.
So that's where, when you refer to the waiver, you're referring to that for the moment because you will need a waiver there, I guess, because pro forma leverage at the cement business will be through that. Correct?
Yes. Yes. I mean, and again, we will not do the spin-off until all of this is cleared. That is
Understood.
Very important because we will not kind of break any covenants that we have until they are set. So the transaction is, I mean, what the shareholders meeting approved was to continue with the process, not to do the spin-off right away. We mm-hmm. have to conclude several steps, among which, of course, there is these discussions.
Well, as you mentioned in the previous call, you said your plans were to return to a 3.5 net leverage at cement business this year. So that would, you know, solve that situation, I guess. But in order to do that, my expectation is you'll need a nearly double-digit EBITDA growth at cement. So that's kind of how you're thinking about this, I assume?
Yeah, I see your point. Yeah. So, I mean, of course, the leveraging level or leverage level that we are seeing by year end and the following years has to do with EBITDA generation. As Fernando mentioned, the outlook for the cement business in Mexico is roughly similar figures to last year. For the U.S., we are expecting a big recovery because mainly we are not planning to have a failure in our facilities this year. And third, because of the ramp up of the Costa Rica facility.
Thank you. Understood. Last thing, I know you've mentioned previously investment grade rating is kind of a medium to longer term target. That remains the case. But in the short run, the ratings may go the opposite direction given the lack of diversification or the smaller asset base that will be rated at the cement business, for example. Are you getting where are you in discussions with the rating agencies about this so far? Can you provide us any context or color on that?
Sure. So building systems and metals, as we've seen with the figures of this quarter and previous quarter, mostly in the building systems, they are improving in a very fast way. We believe that this trend might continue for the rest of the year and the coming years. And one of the important things about this is for the building systems, we do not see a strong cash flow requirement in terms of CapEx. So it is mainly organic growth. On top of that, there are, of course, higher opportunities that we continuously analyze, and they might require additional capital that might be from equity and debt, no? But in the short term, we do see stability and cash flow generation from these two businesses.
And something very, very important, Declan, is that today our capacity utilization in the building systems is 55%, 60%. So the opportunity we have to grow there without major capital investments is very attractive.
So because of that, the leverage level is quite reasonable, and we believe that it will decrease. So even though the size that you mentioned is smaller, we believe that the position will be very positive in terms of leverage.
Well, what I was getting at there was more, I mean, the building systems and the metals business, you know, will be separate legal entities, so there will be an arm's length relationship there. I'm talking more about the ratings of the bonds that will remain at cement.
Okay. So, I mean, yes, of course, if we remove building systems and metals from cement, the figures will change, and that will make that the leverage ratio for the cement business will increase. In a pro forma level, we already released some figures, and as you well pointed out, we are expecting to improve that by year end 2018. We are expecting the analysis from rating agencies basically that's it.
Okay, well, I have a couple more, but I'll just follow up offline. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Vanessa Quiroga with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. My first one is regarding prices in Mexico. With net sales going up only 1% but you are talking positively about volume performance. Can you tell us more or less how average prices moved and how you see that evolving going forward? And the other question that I have is on the corporate side, on the given the spin-off, do you have expectations in terms of the market liquidity that you expect for either of the entities that will remain listed? Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa. Probably it is important to mention this. What we try to explain is that given the pressure that the market is having because of the contraction, our volumes might not be as much affected as for other players because we are preparing, we are selling volume that we didn't sell previously for the preparation of the market in the southeast of the country that will go to the grinding projects. That is very important to kind of clarify. On top of that, also, as I mentioned, the industry as a whole saw a price increase during the quarter, and the combination of this plus that we are increasing our mix more onto bags than to bulk is what is increasing our revenues in 1%. Also, the EBITDA, it is not increasing because of what Fernando mentioned regarding electricity and the incremental logistic costs. Going to your second question, that is liquidity for each of the potential companies. We are aware that the liquidity of Elementia as a whole right now is low. With the spin-off, or the spin-off meant that it is kind of a mirror copy of current shareholders and owners, etc., of the company. So we do not expect that to change immediately with the spin-off. Later on, there are opportunities for both businesses or for both new companies. In the cement business, we have invested heavily in the last 10 years, and that trend might continue for the future. So the opportunities for a follow-on or a combination of a follow-on plus debt or something like that to continue with the growth strategy is still there. And in my opinion, personal opinion, that will be the best way to increase liquidity for the stock. That will be certainly the same for the building systems and metal new business, the NewCo. So liquidity might remain fairly where it is right now until there is something different that allows us to increase liquidity.
Okay. Thank you, Juan, for the explanations. Going back to prices in Mexico, can you share with us more or less how prices performed during the quarter specifically, year by year and sequentially for you?
As I mentioned, the industry faced a price increase. It was roughly 4%, as far as we know. That is basically our figures. The overall figures are also impacted by the mix and what we are doing in Yucatan. As probably you can imagine, because of this preparation of the market, we choose not to continue disclosing volume and pricing variation as we did when we prepared the market for the tool expansion. So that is where we are right now.
Okay. Thank you, Juan.
Thank you, Dani.
And as a reminder, that is star and one. And we will take our next question from Monica Lego with Lauren Bell. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the call. I have two questions. The first one is, do you have any guidance on how the CapEx will be distributed between the spin-off and the remaining company? And the second one is regarding the waiver on the interest coverage. Do you have like a time limit that you have to go back over the 3.0?
Thank you, Monica, for your questions. No, at this point, for your first question on CapEx allocation, no, at this point we do not have at hand the distribution, but we will let you know in a note.
But Monica, just to complement Juan Francisco, I mean, basically, as I stated before, the strategies of businesses will continue basically the same. Nothing changes. So the CapEx should remain as it has been in the last years, minus obviously in Cement USA will not be like that because we're finishing the three-year program CapEx that we talked about. But other than that, it should continue to perform as the way it has in the last years. So nothing changes. The strategies are the same, and we will continue moving on.
Now, regarding to your second question on the waiver and timing for this, I mean, we do not have a time limit. The idea is to do it as fast as possible, but there is no time limit for this. And again, to be very clear on this, what the shareholders meeting approved was to continue with the process, not to execute, the spin-off immediately. The spin-off will be done once that we have clearance on the waivers, etc.
Thank you.
And we will take our next question from Humberto Garcia with Mizuho. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the call and for the accepting the question. Just quickly on the waivers. So on the last call near the end of February, you talked about being in discussions for the waiver on the interest coverage covenant. And then you announced the spinoff on about 5 weeks later, April the 4th. And so what I'm curious is whether in the discussions of the waiver with the bank or banks, they had an opinion or you sort of already have had some discussions with the banks regarding the spinoff and even further, whether there is some requirement or push one way or the other from the banks regarding the spinoff of Metals and Building Systems. Thank you.
Thank you, Humberto. The sound was not that good. If you could please repeat the question.
Yes, I'm calling, asking about the with respect to the waiver on the last call for the fourth quarter. That was on February the 21st, and you said at the time that you were in discussions with banks regarding the interest coverage waiver. Now the spinoff announcement was on April the 4th, so that's about 5 weeks later, and I'm curious whether the spinoff was something that was part of the discussions regarding the waiver, and if the banks expressed any opinion one way or the other with respect to the spinoff.
Thank you, Humberto. Again, sorry, the sound is not that good, but if we understood your question, is related to the waiver that we mentioned that we were in process in the fourth quarter. So if that is the question, the answer is the waiver has been granted. We have it. It will continue like this. So the impact of this for the spin-off process, there is no impact. And again, all the covenants will be discussed with our creditors and bondholders in due time. So if I understand correctly your question, hopefully that was the
point. I think... Right. I'm sorry. Do you hear me? Is the sound better now?
Yes, better.
Okay, I apologize. So, yeah, the last call was February 21st. The announcement of the spinoff was April the 4th. On the last call for the fourth quarter, you said that you were in the process discussing the waiver with the banks. So that's about a five-week period. And I'm just curious whether, you know, it takes time to develop plans for a spinoff, et cetera. And so I'm wondering whether you had some discussions with the banks regarding the spinoff and if they had any opinion one way or the other. That's the question.
Okay, clear. And thank you again, sorry, for having you to say three times. So, yes, I mean, the waiver was granted. It is done. The one that we mentioned that we were in process in the fourth quarter. So it is done this quarter. It is clear that part. Huh? Now, on the discussions with the banks about the transaction, we have had some discussions. Nothing formal yet because the shareholders meeting hasn't been done and hasn't approved to continue with the process. So we will begin kind of formal discussions with banks now that we have clearance.
And it's also important to mention that the waiver we were granted was only in the interest coverage ratio that we were breaching. So we will, as Juan Francisco mentioned, we will sit and negotiate with other creditors, including the banks.
Thank you.
And there are no further questions at this time, so I'll turn it back to the CEO, Fernando Ruiz, for closing remarks.
Thank you. Thank you once again for your interest in Elementia. So before I would like to conclude this call with the following main messages we want to convey today. So the first one would be, as we mentioned, showed in our fourth quarter report and continue to do so in this first quarter, we believe we have set the foundations to recover the path of growth in the building systems business unit in both regions. Second, the actions and strategies implemented to overcome the failure of the grinding mill in our South Carolina cement facility and ensure the reliable supply to our customers have been successfully executed, rendering recoveries in the fourth quarter and will continue to do so. Third, we will remain focused on deleveraging the company. And fourth, the spin-off evaluation process continues according to plan, and we will keep on informing all our stakeholders of the progress. So please feel free to contact our investor relations team or ourselves directly for any further questions you may have. Have a nice rest of the day. Thank you very much.